Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? It's the second Sunday of Lent. How are you feeling? How's it going? Okay? All right? Well, that good, huh?
Well, I miss my sweets.
You miss your sweets? Now, first, this is not always my experience of Lent, and in fact, a priest that we knew when we lived in Canada used to say on Ash Wednesday, "I hope you all have a rotten Lent." But for some reason or other, after Ash Wednesday myself, after taking on the disciplines that I am this season, I felt lighter. I put off something that was weighing me down. Like there was some joy just around the corner, just the other side of the hard walk of Lent. And there is a blessing in that lightness. I feel this blessing. But why, as I asked at the beginning, why does God bless us? We're going to say that God blesses us to be a blessing to the world he so loves. So we're going to talk about how God shows up for us in Christ, how God keeps showing up for us even when it's hard, and how God blesses the world through people who show up for him and others. So first of all, God shows up for us. I'm going to draw verses from each of the main scripture passages. So we're starting with John with our gospel lesson, in which it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." So why did God give the Son? Because God the Father loved the world. This is a love that transcends anything that we can understand. Unconditional, unmerited. God the Father loves the world. And this Greek word world is the word that we get our English word cosmos from. God loves the entire created order. And in order to save all of creation, God sends the Son. In order to redeem those human beings, to restore them to their place of tending and naming the garden, so that everyone who believes might have eternal life. God saving humanity is part of God saving the world. I want this to settle in you for just a second. God saving you is part of God saving the world. The Son came not to condemn, but to save. So have you ever felt irrationally attached to something you've made? Recently, on a whim, I guess this is one of the gifts of midlife. There are plenty of curses, but one of the gifts is I have a little bit of extra time to do stuff silly. So I picked up crochet in the last 6 weeks. And I have crocheted a little baby Yoda. And it's so cute. I spent a lot of time making and unmaking this silly thing as I learned the stitches. And I love it with an irrational, unconditional love. And I want to say that God loves the whole cosmos with this kind of irrational, unconditional love. God loves it because he made it, because he had to undo it, because he had to make it again, because of all these things, all driven by love, and nothing can happen that can change that love. And more than that, God gave the Son. We believe that in Jesus Christ, God became a human being. God didn't love from a distance. God came to love up close. God loved the world enough to show up in it for us and for our salvation. So what does that mean for you as part of this cosmos that God has made? God loves you. You are part of something God loves. God is saving you, and through you, God is saving the world. Through you, united with Christ, God continues to show up in the world. The church is not an audience watching God at work. The church is the body through which Jesus Christ keeps working. But you might think, this doesn't sound right. It's Lent, after all. I'm supposed to be beating my chest and dressing in sackcloth. We're encouraged this season, yes, to remember our failings, our sins, right? And this reminds us that God doesn't show up just when it's easy. God keeps showing up for us even when it's hard. So we turn now to our second lesson from Paul's letter to the Romans. But to one who without works trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This is dense Pauline prose. I would bet you $20 it's one sentence in the Greek, because that's the way Paul rolls. We're just going to draw out a few threads. To justify means to put in the right or to prove something is right. Sometimes we try to justify our behavior to show that what we are doing is right to people who don't believe us. But sometimes justifying our behavior goes deeper in us, touches a place of tenderness and shame, and we start trying to justify ourselves, our existence, by trying to show that we are in the right. And where does that go? Nowhere. It doesn't take a lot of self-knowledge to see that our self-justification is a ruse. It's a lie. We start out ungodly, as Paul says, outside God's kingdom, as it were, but God loves us with this irrational, unconditional love. God shows up for us even there, even when it's hard. God justifies the ungodly. And in Jesus Christ, in his life, death, resurrection, and ascension, God enters into the depths of our alienation, into the depths of our loneliness, and buys us back. God puts us in the right in Christ. He justifies us. And we receive that justification, as Paul says, through faith. That is, through trust. And this trust unites us with Christ, and it's like bringing life to the dead and calling into existence things that don't exist. And this is costly. It costs Jesus a cross. God shows up for us, even when it's hard. God loves us enough for that. In the announcements, I'll talk a little bit about diocesan council. So the churches of our diocese, together with our bishop, gathered in council yesterday in the Woodlands. And on Friday, on the way to diocesan council, Carl Spain and I saw a billboard for a church called the Ark Church. And it said, in a way that made me laugh, "Perfect people not allowed." Perfect people not allowed. God shows up for us because he loves the world. He shows up for us in Christ and walks the hard road of the cross to redeem us from Satan, sin, and death. Jesus loves us more than we can love ourselves. We can only find ourselves right with God by trusting the God who puts us in the right. We have been claimed by Christ in holy baptism. We are his own. And when we stop trying to justify ourselves, when we start trying to prove to other people or to God that we're right, something gets lighter in us. We've put off the burden, and we are free to follow God's call. Where is God calling us? God is calling us to be like him, to be like Jesus, because God shows up to bless the world through people who show up for him and others. So going now to our first reading, the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him. Abram began in the far country, far away from the land of promise, and the Lord calls him. What does he call him to do? To show up, to go. To go from the far country to the promised land. Now, is this going to be an easy journey? No, it won't. We have some really fun stories in the Bible talking about this journey. Will it take everything that Abraham has and is? Yes, it will. But what will happen? "I will make your name great," says the Lord God, "so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And what does our father in faith do? Does he sit down and say thank you and not go anywhere? No. So Abram went as the Lord told him. So once upon a time, a wealthy benefactor decided to give a local food pantry $1 million to expand its footprint and feed more hungry people. The benefactor entrusted this check to a lieutenant. The lieutenant very much wanted to do good in the world, but he was afraid. Would the food pantry be grateful? Would they squander the money and ask for more? So out of fear, the lieutenant held on to the check. He didn't cash it himself. He just held on to it. Feeling good that the benefactor had trusted him enough to give it, but never quite getting around to the hard work of showing up. In the meantime, the food pantry went on doing good work in its community, never the wiser of the blessing that might have befallen them. But at the beginning of our service, what did we recite together? The Ten Commandments, right? So thinking of these Ten Commandments as things that keep us from walking in God's ways of being a blessing to our world, I want you to complete the sentence about what this lieutenant did. Thou shalt not pass. Thou shalt not steal. It's not that this person took it for himself, but this person withheld this gift. He stole a blessing from this group. The lieutenant stole from the food pantry by choosing not to deliver the blessing the benefactor wanted to give. I want to put a fine point on this, friends, because in Lent we walk with Abram through the wilderness of Holy Week back to the promised land of Easter. We turn toward the hard parts of life, towards our death, towards our sin. We let things go to feel lighter, to be freer for the hard but good work of showing up. We do this not to justify ourselves, but to trust in the God who puts us in the right in Christ, We show up even when it's hard, not to prove that we are good, but to show that God is good, and so bring a blessing to the world that God so loves. So in summary, God shows up for us in Jesus Christ. God keeps showing up for us even when it's hard. And God promises to show up to bless the world through people who trust his love and show up for him and others. So my Lenten call today is let's commit to showing up. On the negative side, not showing up withholds a blessing God intends to give. Right? This is hard for me to kind of get my head around, but the Bible says that we can bless God. And we bless God in worship. When we withhold ourselves from worship, we are withholding a blessing from God. When we refuse to show up for others, we withhold a blessing from them. So that's on the negative side, but on the positive side, we commit to showing up because God so loved the world. Because God has blessed us to be a blessing, because the blessing that we have received is a true, unadulterated, irrational, unconditional gift of love to us in Jesus Christ, who loves us more than we can love ourselves. Now, many of you know that one of our own, Bill Hearn, is in the process of going to meet our Lord. I have watched as others wonder if showing up would be a burden. They themselves have felt heavy, wondering what they should do. And I have then watched them do the hard work of calling the family, arranging a time, showing up. And I have seen how much lighter they felt afterwards. And I've heard from the family about the blessings that they have left behind them with Bill and them all. So circling back, why does God bless us? God blesses us to be a blessing to the world he so loves. We tend to think that because God blesses us, everything else should be easy. Lent reminds us that it's not true. The work of showing up is hard work, but it's good work. And once we get over the first shock of it, we realize that showing up not only makes us feel lighter, but leaves a blessing in our wake. So this Lent, let us commit to showing up for God and others, even when it's hard. Because God intends to bless the world through you. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.